The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
I got it. There it is. Hey, looky there. Thank you. And all right. See, I'm high tech too. I want you to know that. Yeah, it's all about pressing the power button. And 1 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 15, the Bible says, "But if I tarry long," he says, "that thou mayest know how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground," that's what it says, "of the truth." Now, I believe we have a great country. They sang about that a moment ago. But our country is great because of the foundational truths that it's been established on, and because we hold the line on that which is the most foundational truths that we can possibly hold the line on. And I believe that's how come we have a great nation. My fear is this: so goes the church, so goes the nation. My fear is that we are living in a very, very dangerous time in our life. And so as I speak tonight on why I fear churches that have left the truth, there's a great fear in my heart. I'm seeing more and more churches that are trading old-fashioned preaching and old-fashioned services for the contemporary worship type of services. And can I tell you, that is dangerous to our future. I'm seeing that people are coming in and they'll attend church because the music and not because of the doctrine. They attend church because it's a feel-good type of thing. And I have people say this all the time. They say, "Well, you know, I enjoyed visiting your church one time, but you're just a little bit old-fashioned for me." Now, can I tell you, there's nothing wrong with being old-fashioned if old-fashioned is doctrinally correct. And one thing you know for sure, our church is doctrinally correct. So I want to help us tonight a little bit, because I think as we see in the end times that there are people that are having itching ears. They're wanting to go to church, and they want church to be like their television watching, if I may say so, in the living room. They're wanting church to be like their football games or their basketball games, where they have similar music programs that is pulling down that which is righteousness and that which is goodness and that which is wholesomeness, and pulling down that which is godliness, if you will. The Bible talks about in 2 Thessalonians how there's going to be that time of falling away, where there's going to be those that fall away from old-time religion. Many years ago, there was not the vices that are out there about different Bible perversions versus that which is the Word of God. But today there is. And I believe that that is the foundation of the attack of Satan. I believe that Satan is attacking in three different areas, and we'll see it. Let me just by way of introduction tonight, in Genesis chapter 3 and in verse 1, the Bible says, "And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree in the garden." He said, "Yea, hath God said." So you see, there's the attack of Satan on biblical truth. Now, by the way, Satan is still, has never ceased or has never backed off in attacking biblical truth. The Bible says in Psalm 11 and verse 3, the Bible says, "If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" And so when our foundations are being destroyed, one day there is going to be a day when the righteous will be lying, if you will please, in destitute, because they've allowed it to be destroyed. We see the rejection of Bible truth. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 2, the Bible says, "To preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." Now listen to what it says in verse 3 of 2 Timothy 4. The Bible says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." What does that mean? That means the man of God's going to get up and he's going to preach something and somebody's going to get offended. Somebody's going to get their feelings hurt. Somebody's going to say, "That's just a too much strong for me. I'd rather go to a church that's more watered down. I'd rather go to a church where the man of God gets up and he always preaches about the love of God and always preaches with a motivational type of pitch in his voice and always makes me feel good about myself. But can I tell you, Bible sound doctrine preaching will not always make you feel good about yourself. The Bible says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. So there's going to come a time when a person says, well, I tell you what, I don't like what they're saying. And isn't it something nowadays how we choose where we go to church based on how we like what the preacher says or if we agree with the preacher? Now, can I tell you, you ought to choose a church based on Bible truth. If the preacher's worth his salt, from time to time, he is going to roll back or roll up his sleeves and he's going to get down to where you're living. If the preacher's worth his salt, there's going to be from time to time when he's going to sit in your lap, spit in your eyeball, and he's going to stomp on your toes. If the preacher's worth his salt. Now, can I tell you that the Bible says that in the end times, there's going to come that time where they're not going to endure sound doctrine. Now, I wish that we could always make preaching exciting. I wish we could. I wish that we could entertain you like you receive entertainment in the world, if that's what it takes to get your attention. But can I tell you, you ought to love God more than that. You ought to love God more than having to come to church and boy, I tell you what, I can't wait to see a preacher runs across the platform. I can't wait to see a preacher stands on the pew. I can't wait to see a preacher raises his voice. I can't wait to see a preacher will shout. I can't wait to see a preacher will tell a funny joke. I can't wait to see if preacher will tell a story that I can put my teeth into. Whatever happened to just good old-fashioned sound doctrine? Sound doctrine is what's going to help you to be able to stand firm. Now, by the way, sound doctrine is not always exciting. Sound doctrine is not always wow. But that sound doctrine is the pillar and that which is the ground of truth whereby we're supposed to rest upon and stand upon and go forward. You know, I wish that I could be such an exciting preacher that I'd always hold your attention from time to time and all the way through. But to be honest with you, not always is every message going to be something that has a funny story attached. Not always is every message going to be something where we give a tear-jerking illustration. Not always are we going to give history when we preach the Word of God. Sometimes you're going to have to sit there and you're going to have to listen on purpose, especially if you've had a hard day. Now, the Bible teaches that there's going to be a time when Satan does attack upon that truth. There's going to be times when people reject the truth. Then there's going to be a time when there's a lack of biblical truth. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 1, the Bible says, it says, but there were false prophets also among the people. You know, there are people no doubt sitting underneath the pitch of my voice right now that has embraced some type of strange doctrine. And you're sitting in this room. Now, wait a minute. It says, but there were false prophets also among the people. It says, even as there shall be false teachers among you, it says, who privily shall bring damnable heresies and denying the Lord that brought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And so there's going to be people. Can I tell you what? We ought never to be a church, and we ought not to give allegiance to churches that trade preaching for programs. Our church and other churches ought never to be those that trade conviction for compromise. We ought not to have a church that trades old-fashioned revivals for seminars, or that trades a Wednesday night service for a family night, or that trades a prayer room, if you will please, for a family life center, or that trades that which is salvation for church membership, or trades the Word of God for a man's reasoning, or trades that which is old-fashioned preaching for philosophy, or trades the King James Bible for the perverted translations that's out there, or that trades sanctification for worldly identification. We ought to decide that we're going to stick beside that which is the truth. Now, how is it that we know the truth tonight? The Bible says you shall know the truth. And that truth is going to set you free. So it's important tonight that we know the truth. Now, let me give you some things about the truth. Statement number one, the truth must be singular. The truth must be singular. Now, I'm going to use a lot of Bible tonight, but I want you to hang on. Psalm 12, and in verse 6, the Bible says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of the earth, purified seven times. So God says that the words of the Lord are pure words. There's a singularness about it. We know God's words are pure. Psalm 12, and in verse 7, the Bible says this. It says, thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them, it says, from this generation forever. So God says that His words, singular, will be preserved. Now, by the way, you've got God's word in that King James Bible that's near and dear to your lap. For over 300 years, that King James Bible has been used to bring some of the greatest revivals that's ever touched the soil on any nation in the world. And so don't compromise that. Don't lay that down. Don't walk away from that. Don't try and find yourself another type of version. Don't do that. You stay with the old King James, and you let God use that Bible in your life. The truth must be singular. By the way, if it's not, it's going to be confused. And my Bible says that God is not the author of confusion. So if God is not the author of confusion, then you pray tell me tonight who is. We understand that God is not going to confuse you. All right, so the truth must be singular. Statement number two, the truth must be authoritative. Must be authoritative. Titus chapter 2 and in verse 15, the Bible says these things speak. He says, and exhort and rebuke with all authority, and let no man despise thee. All right, so the word of God, truth, if you will, is going to be authoritative. It's going to be authoritative. Man's going to get up. Man's going to thunder out the things of God. Authoritatively, he's going to thunder out the things of God. That's not bad. That is good. Everybody's looking for somebody in their life that is stronger than they are. You see it all over the world. Now, they may follow somebody stronger than they are going the wrong direction. But they're looking for somebody that's stronger than they are. It's always the class clown that gets the most attention. It's always the rebel that sticks out among the crowd. It's always the dynamic salesman that gets the raise. It's always the entrepreneurist that makes it in a big headlight, if you would please. It's always the person that stands for something. Hitler said, and I quote, he said, if you will preach it long enough, people will believe it. He preached his doctrine long time. People rose up and they followed it. Now, the wrong direction. Killing and murdering. Stealing. All ruining a nation. Destroying, if you would please, people. One after another. Group after group. Killing mamas and daddies and innocent little children and babies and butchering them and putting them in the furnaces and burning them alive. Cutting their heads off. Ungodly stuff. But the reason people shouted and the reason people followed him is because he was somebody in their lives that were stronger than they were. And everybody's looking for somebody that is stronger than they are. And I'm telling you tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ, there's going to be a day when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And I'm saying tonight, you better thank God you've got a Jesus that is stronger than all humanity. Nothing wrong with being authoritative. Statement number one, the truth is singular. The truth is singular. I was talking to a dear brother, and he said this. He said, going to this certain church, he said they use this version and this version and this version and this version. Now, and so when you go to church, you'd have to carry all your Bibles. Well, how confusing is that? Where'd they get that from? Can I tell you where they got that from? They got that from some pretend theologian that was in their college that in pretense, he pretended that he knew what he was. And then, now watch it, because he was stronger than the pupil. The pupil sat there with his mouth wide open, just lapping it in, believing it was truth. Now, can I tell you, that's not truth, that's a lie. Long as I'm the pastor of this church and the president of our college, we will never use anything other than an old-fashioned King James Bible. We're not going to confuse people. We're not going to try to destroy people's lives. We're going to try and get people to be closer with God. That Word of God, that truth is singular. It's authoritative. But not only that, it's foundational. The Bible says in Psalm 11 and verse 3, the Bible says if the foundations, listen to it now, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? What's happening to our nation? Why is our nation being destroyed? Why is our nation, if you would please, the foundations are beginning to crumble? Why is that so? I'll tell you why it's so. Because they're not standing on the pillar of truth, the ground of truth. That is the Word of God. When they started taking the Word of God out of the public schools over the years, look at what's happened. When our preachers started to compromise behind the pulpit and they didn't preach hard against sin and everything is fine and you never hear them name sin, you never hear them get up and throw a Holy Ghost fit. Now, the churches, people are dressing down to come to church, not up to come to church. The singing is more contemporary and it's more casual, and we got a nation now that addresses God in a casual way. Well, no wonder they don't get their prayers answered. No wonder God's not coming through for them. No wonder they're falling short and things are not like they ought to be. Why? Because the foundations are being destroyed. I'm saying tonight, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Truth must be singular. Truth must be authoritative. Truth must be foundational. You ready for this? Truth must be narrow-minded. Narrow-minded. Somebody says, well, you know, that's the problem with you believers. You're all narrow-minded. I'd rather be too narrow-minded than wide-minded. If I'm going to be narrow-minded, I'd rather be narrow-minded about the truth. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 6, he said this. Jesus saith unto him, he said, I am the way. He didn't say, I'm one of the ways. He said, I am the way. I'm pretty narrow-minded about that, aren't you? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. There's nothing wrong with being narrow-minded if you're right in your narrow-minded thinking. There's nothing wrong with that. Somebody says, well, why do you believe that? Well, you're narrow-minded. Well, thank you. In some cases, being narrow-minded is a compliment. I'm narrow-minded that Jesus is the only way to go to heaven. I'm not going to compromise that. I pass out gospel tracts everywhere I go. You say, why do you do that? Because there's only one way. There's only one way. I stand firm on my Bible belief. You know why? Because that is the right way. Somebody says, well, what if you're wrong? I'm not. Well, what if you're slightly wrong? I'm not slightly wrong. Well, what if you see it the wrong way? I'm not. I'm seeing it the right way. I don't have to compromise. I don't have to lay it down and say, well, I tell you what, well, maybe I'm wrong. I'm not wrong. I don't have to worry about maybe I'm wrong. Hey, I'm saying tonight it has to be that which is a foundational. And when it is foundational, it is also narrow-minded. Narrow. Well, I believe that everybody's going to go to heaven because they believe that there is a God. Hogwash. Hogwash. Person's not going to go to heaven unless they receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, period. Well, I think you can be receiving Jesus Christ and be baptized, and you can trust in two ways rather than one. No, that's not Bible. You either receive Him His way or you receive Him not at all. He said, I am the way. He didn't say, I'm one of the ways. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. There's not two ways, only one. I'm saying the truth must be singular. By the way, that's how come you're having trouble with your kids. No. Mama believes in disciplining one way, you believe in disciplining another way, and it's not singular. You're not on each other's page. I know why some of our kids are so messed up, because you're not on God's page when it comes to discipline. Well, I think I'll put them in the corner and let them think about it. They'll think about 15 other ways to get away with it. You discipline them God's way. God's right, period. 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 And it's about time tonight that some of us get on God's page. Now, I'm saying tonight, the truth must be singular. The truth must be authoritative. The truth must be foundational. The truth must be narrow-minded. The truth must be convictive. You know the Word of God brings conviction? Listen to it. Acts chapter 2 and verse 37, the Bible says, "Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts." When they heard it. When they heard it. Look, I love you as parents. I'm so glad you're part of our church, and some of you are praying about joining, and I'm glad for you. But can I tell you something for sure tonight? Can I tell you, you cannot be a passive parent and turn out godly kids. You cannot do it. You need to be a person that says right is right, wrong is wrong. That's all there is to it. Well, I'll just let them get away with it this time. You have rolled over too many times on your side, and your brain has done rolled out your head. You cannot do that. By the way, if you love them, you will chasten them betimes. You will chasten them early. Well, maybe they'll grow out of it. No, they're growing into a monster already. They're not going to grow out of it. Well, I'll just let him or her throw their little temper tantrum and they'll get over it. No, they won't get over it. They need your help in getting over it. I'm saying tonight, please understand that the truth is convictive. James chapter 1 and verse 23, the Bible says, "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word, he's likened unto a man that beholdeth his natural face in a glass." Listen to it now in verse 24, where the Bible says, "For he beholdeth himself and goeth away and straightway forgetteth the manner of man he was." You know, he's looking at himself and he forgets it very quickly. He just beholds and he walks away. Now wait a minute. I'm not supposed to be just that hearer. I'm supposed to be that doer. I'm supposed to, look, if you want to produce spiritual kids, you've got to get them doing spiritual things. That is a duh. So I hope they'll turn out spiritual. They're not going to turn, look, what you eat is what you become. What you feed them is what they do become. You want them to become spiritual, you've got to put them in a spiritual environment. I've said often teenagers are environmental. Who they hang around is most likely who they're going to become like. They're environmental. You draw what you are, not what you want to be. Now, I'm saying tonight, the truth is convicted. I remember the first time I ever went to I thought it was a youth activity. It wasn't a youth activity. It wasn't sponsored by the church, but I didn't know that. I did not know that. One of the girls that was in my youth department said, "Hey, we're having an activity. We'd like for you to come over. Everybody's coming." I thought, wow, this is wonderful. Everybody's coming. That means there's going to be a bunch of Christian believers there. Boy, it's going to be good. Oh, it's going to be so good. I can't wait to go. And so they told me the time. I learned some valuable lessons from this. They told me the time, and I went over to the house. And boy, I walked in that house. There was rock and roll music playing. There was kids smoking weed. These were kids in my youth department, so to speak. Are you listening to me? Boy, I jumped up on a table. I said, "What are you doing? Hey!" I made my statement. And I walked out. Now, can I tell you, next time I showed up in the youth department, nobody, not many of them, there were some, but not many wanted to sit beside me. We become way too passive. You get in a car and somebody's playing that filthy, dirty, perverted rock music and you just sit there and you listen to it while it's damaging your soul. That's wrong. Now you can be kind about it. You don't have to yell and make them wreck. They turn it on. You don't have to say, "Stop the car!" You could look over them with a little bit of decency and you could say, "You know, I don't listen to that type of stuff and it's going to hurt me, and you're my friend and I know you would not want to hurt me. Therefore, I'm going to ask you to turn it off. Boy, I remember taking stands like that when I was a teenager. I remember riding in a car, and I was with a friend, so I thought, he turned it on. And I said, no. I said, we're not going that way. I said, if you don't mind, turn that off. He said, it's my car. He said, I can play what I want to play. I said, it's my body. I can put my body where I want to put my body. He said, what are you saying? I said, let me out. He said, you're in the middle of a highway. I said, sure beats riding with you. I said, let me out. He said, you're kidding me. I said, I'm not kidding you. I said, you know better than that. You were taught better than that. And you think I'm going to sit here and let you do that and corrupt me and you both? There's no way. Let me out. He said, well, if it means that much to you, I'll turn it off. I said, thank you. He said, well, that sounds kind of mean, but at least I wasn't corrupting myself. Here's what you do. You go down to an office party for Christmas, and they start passing the beer around, and you want to impress your boss, and so you'll say, well, nobody's around, nobody sees me, I'll just take a little. The only problem with that, beloved, God sees you. Well, you know, I'll tell you what, I'm going to go home and I'm gonna watch some lewd type of television show, and I'm going to take and watch something where they play the bad music, and there's blood and there's gore and there's killing. Hey, somebody ought to stand up and somebody ought to say, I'm not going to do stuff like that. I'm a believer in Christ. I'm saying keep your mind pure. Keep your soul pure. Why not love each other enough to help each other instead of hurting each other? That's not Christian love. That's not help. I'm saying tonight, it's convictive. Truth will be convictive. When you watch this, truth remains unchanging. I'm almost done. Truth remains unchanging. Listen to it. Here's what our Bible says. Psalm 12 and verse 6, the Bible says, the words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in the furnace of the earth seven times. Purified seven times. Psalm 12 and verse 7, I read a moment ago. Says, thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them. It says, from this generation forever. Now, can I tell you something? Somebody said this. If you tell the truth, then you don't have to have a good memory. You tell the truth, and you don't have to have a good memory. Because you're not trying to make something up for somebody else to hear it differently. Now, can I tell you this for sure? Can I tell you, the truth is unchanging. The truth is unchanging. So we don't have to worry. Look, I'm not going to regret preaching this message tonight. I'm going to go home tonight and enjoy the pain of my kidney stones. And I am not going to regret preaching this message tonight. Now, I may regret the way I preached it, but I'm not. I'm saying tonight, listen, that truth, it remains unchanging. Unchanging. Can I tell you, I've been an old-fashioned, fundamental, independent, premillennial, hellfire, brimstone, soul-winning, separated Baptist for over 30 years. Now, if you think I'm about to change, you're nuts. That Bible doctrine is true. You can look at it, you can embrace it, you can love it. And if we would just fall in love with it, can I tell you, it would change your life. Well, you know, that person's not doing it, and that person's, here's what you ought to say, shame on them. Shame on them. If they're not doing it, shame on them. But you ought to rise up and say, I love my God so much that I'm going to do what God wants me to do, and I'm going to obey what God wants. There has to be. Our nation is crumbling. The foundations are not sure. There's compromise all over the place. Somebody has to stand. Somebody has to be able to embrace the truth and live the truth and go forward. Live the truth. Let it be you. Saying tonight that truth is unchanging. It remains unchanging. Simon Rex. The truth. We must recognize the truth as such. Recognize it as such. If it's unchanging, then recognize it. Oh, okay, watch this. Well, I believe that a person can do whatever they want to do because I believe that's what the Bible teaches. That's not what the Bible teaches. It's right or it's wrong. It's in or it's out. Hello? Some people are having trouble making decisions because they don't know the book. That's why they're having trouble making decisions. Well, you know, I don't know if I want to join a church like this because, you know, it doesn't give me that feel-good sensation. Whoa. What are you talking about, feel-good sensation? I'm saying that's the craze right now in our society. That's the craze. You have churches that they have the praise and worship teams. And they'll stand up there. You have churches that will darken their platforms. I mean, it's all dark, and you know, and then they got the, you know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of the day before I was saved when I used to go to concerts. That's what it reminds me of. Church ought not to be that way. Church ought to be pure. Church ought to be holy. Church ought to be set aside. Church ought to be that place where you can come and you can trust the preacher's going to get up and the preacher's going to preach and the preacher's going to give truth and keep it right all the way. That's the way church is supposed to be. I'm saying tonight that there's that truth. We have to recognize it as such. Then let me give you, if I can, just 20 more points. No, just two more points. The truth must be magnified instead of minimized. The truth must be magnified. Well, you know, let them go ahead and do it. It's okay. No, it's not okay. It's not okay. We have to magnify that which is truth. Can I tell you about this? Listen to what it says in Psalm 138, verse 2. The Bible says, I will worship, it says, toward the holy temple and praise, it says, thy name for thy loving kindness. That's what it says here, for thy truth. Thou shalt magnify, listen to these words right here. Thou shalt magnify thy word, it says, above all thy name. So you magnify principle above personality. I think because of the fact the last maybe couple of presidents that we had, at least the last two terms, I believe that we voted a man in because of a personality. I believe that people are waking up a little bit and are saying we need to look at principle. Well, you know, I want to attend that church because, look, I've been around preachers for a long time. I've been around preachers that preach in churches. This is heavy. I've been around churches that the preachers are camp meeting preachers. We used to call them windsuckers. But they get it out. Amen. Buddy, I tell you, they dish it out. And that's what we call good old-fashioned preaching. Wait, now watch this. I've been around churches where the guys are more apt to teach than they're apt to preach. They never one time raise their voice. Never one time. They stand behind the pulpit and they almost read their sermon. I mean, never one time. But if they're preaching the truth, I've been men's pulpits that they try and tell a joke. Now that's something they should never try because I've heard them. But they try. I'm saying we ought to magnify that which is the truth instead of minimizing it. Here we go, last point, and I'm done. The truth should be universally shared. Universally shared. Oh, come on now, watch this. Oh, if just you people right here, Can you imagine if just you people sitting under my voice right here would take the truth and put it above your name? If you would take the truth and put it above your name, I'm going to do it because it's the truth and it doesn't matter how I feel. I'm going to do it because it's the truth and it doesn't matter what the opinions are of others. I'm going to do it because it's the truth and it does not matter if the church down the street, around the corner, on the other side of the block, across the river, it doesn't matter if they do it or not. I'm going to obey that truth. If you would exhort the truth above your own name, are you listening to me? If you would allow God to work in your life, did you know, then you wouldn't have any problem making sure the world got the truth. I'm biased on purpose with great intent, drive, and passion. I believe my Bible is the, not one of, but is the Word of God, period. Make no apologies for it. I believe that everybody ought to be a member of an independent Baptist church. Now, don't get mad at me when I say this. I'm sure that people will shoot me some kind emails over this. But I believe if you're a member of another type of church, you're flying second rate. Second class. I feel sorry for you. I'm saying this tonight. I'm saying that you ought to decide tonight that the truth is elevated above yourself. Well, this is my opinion. That and 25 cents might get you a half a cup of coffee that won't be worth drinking. Let the truth be the truth. Your child starts to rebel. Stick to the truth. Guide your home according to the truth. Live by the truth. Well, people don't understand me. People don't receive me. Hey, I'm telling you, we're living in the last days. They have an itch and ear problem, but you stay with the truth. Here's what it is, and I'm done. The Bible says, and you know it well, Book of Mark chapter 16, verse 15, the Bible says, and he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I'm excited. Come February, we're having a missions conference. Boy, I'm so excited. We'll have missionaries coming here from around the world. You'll be able to talk to them, speak to them, see that they're real. Maybe God will use some of your parent might get mad at me. Maybe God will use some of them to speak through and call your son or your daughter to the mission field. Wouldn't that be wonderful? I mean, I'm telling you tonight that the world, I fly in cities. I flew up to preach for Brother Bill McSpadden, and I flew into Indianapolis. And as I was flying into Indianapolis, I looked over that city, and I thought, I wonder, do they have the truth? Remember, first time I ever flew into Bangkok, Thailand. My heart broke. Broke even more as I got out. I love leading people to Christ. I love telling people about the Lord Jesus. I love passing out tracts. And broke my heart when I was walking up down those narrow streets with all those mangy dogs running around. Buddha in every yard. And I go up to witness to somebody and they spoke Thai. And I couldn't communicate. I went back to my room that first night, and I just wept like a baby. I remember going to Cambodia and trying to witness to people, and they speak the Khmer language, and boy, I wept so hard. And yet, we have an opportunity right here. Right here. And it's something, some of you speak several languages. The Bantigals, no doubt, speak Tagala or maybe Saguana. Some of you have a Spanish heritage. Brother Juan went out with me soul winning the other day, Salazar. And he went out soul winning with me the other day. And he couldn't contain himself. I mean, he was just right there. And this Spanish guy I knocked on the door, and Brother Salazar, he speaks fluent Spanish. And all of a sudden, he just started, blah, 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 and this guy was, blah, 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 and they were back and forth, blah, 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 blah. And I saw this guy bow his head. And Brother Salazar led him to Christ. Boy, that's better than peanut butter. I've watched this. Different ones have gone out soul winning. God, I don't know if you've noticed this, but God's given us a pretty international church. You look around and, man, you see people from all walks of life. Most of them wear deodorant. That's good. But we just don't have one nationality that's in our church. The other day I had a dear man from India on the team. Brother Jamhang, one of our missionaries sent through our church, was on my team. He's from Thailand. Had one of the guys that spoke Spanish, he's on our team. And who else was on my teams? Who was it? Yeah, Brother Montiel was on the team, the Filipino. And then I think I was the only Englishman that was born here on the team. And we called ourselves the International Soul Winning Team. What a joy. What a joy to see people saved. I'll close with an illustration if you allow me to. If you don't allow me to, I'm still going to close with the illustration. Brother Baldivis was taken to the hospital. This was the second time. It was on a Thursday night. And normally my wife and I, we go soul winning together on a Thursday night, and that night we worked it out so she and Mrs. Butler could go soul winning together, and I wanted a man that's praying about joining our church to go soul winning with Brother Butler, and so he was kind enough, and they split their team up, husband and wife, and I split my team up, husband and wife, and Brother Butler took this dear gentleman soul winning, and I took his son, and we went out soul winning. But on the way, I remember Brother Baldivis was in the hospital, and I love our people. And so I thought, I'm going to go to the hospital first. And so I told this little boy, I said, we're going to go to the hospital first. And so we went over to the hospital to visit. And so we went in there and had prayer with him, made sure he was okay, and came out to the waiting room. Well, you know, in the waiting room, that means people are waiting for you. And so they're just waiting for you. That's what they're waiting for. And so I knew they were waiting there. And so I went around and started passing out tracts. I looked around this little boy that was with me, and he started copying what I was doing. Now, I don't know if he's ever done that before, but he did it that night. Amen. So I'm passing out tracts, and I'm passing one here, and he stands right beside me. You know, here I am, and here he is. And I'm passing out a tract, and I look over, and Brother Bontiel, he's standing right there. He's passing out a tract. I thought, man, isn't that so neat? You know, they watch you. We got done passing out tracts, and we headed on, and I said, we got to stop. I have an area that I've got on my heart, had it on my heart all week. I need to go by there, and I want to go door knocking in this one area. And he said, yes, sir. And so we went door knocking in that one area. We knocked on the first door, and nobody answered. And we knocked on the next door, and nobody answered. Now, if you're an unbeliever, you may say, well, was it of God? You go to that area. Yes, because there was a third door. I knocked on the third door, and this little boy came to the door, and Daddy came to the door. Daddy came to the door, and Daddy spoke Spanish, and Brother Juan was not with me, and so I'm just like, hi. He asked me, I guess, if I spoke Spanish, and I said, poquito. And that was my Spanish, poquito. And so I asked the little boy. I said, "You speak English?" And he said, "Yes." I said, "Well, let me get you to talk to Dad." I said, "It's cold out here, and I want to be able to come in and talk to your Dad about the Lord. Ask him if it's okay." And little boy, blah, 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 and we're invited in. We went in. We sat down, and Daddy just got up and left. I mean, he went in the kitchen. I guess he was hungry. I have the effect on people. He went in the kitchen, And I was left with that little boy. And so here I am, and here my little soul winning partner is there. And I begin to witness that little, he was 10 years of age too. And I begin to witness that little boy, and that little boy just like, I mean, he was he was taking it in. I witnessed that little bitty boy. I led that little bitty boy to Christ. My soul winning partner's eyes got big, big as saucers. We got in the car. He said, "Wow, that was fun." I said, "Yeah, that was fun." I said, "You know that little boy got saved." Now listen to me. What if I hadn't stopped? What if I would have said, "Lord, I know you put that place on my heart, but I'm not going. I got better things to do." That little boy sat there and he listened, bowed his heart. Something happens to that little boy tonight. He'll be in heaven.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I'm saying the Word of God should be given out. It's one thing to know it. It's another thing to share it. It's one thing to know it. It's another thing to give it out. It's one thing to know it. It's another thing to try and help somebody with it. And when we allow it to permeate us, to change us, and we want everybody to get it.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.